Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
How are we doing? Welcome back. Roman Vine part two.
You hear that?
Yes.
That is Manscaped working to the best of its ability.
That is my nose trimmer.
It's our nose trimmer. Can you hear it?
I can hear it all right.
Big thanks to our sponsor for the episode, Manscaped.
Get it in your Britney Spears and all.
Unbelievable. The number one provider of precision engineering tools.
You can probably turn it off now, John.
For the family jewels.
Talk about ripping the arse out.
I'm done, mate, yeah.
You look magnificent.
I look up with ultra.
A few snots up there, but yeah.
There it is. The old trimmer. Engineered to prevent any nicks around the old nuggets.
It's immaculate, isn't it? Yes. You haven't used that, have you?
Where? I've not used that one, no. I've got my own at home with them.
Well, big thanks to Manscaped sponsoring the episode. It's given me a new lease of life, this has. I'll be honest with you.
You read it?
It is.
Oh,
it's a good test on you as well.
Added confidence.
I tell you what else it's done as well. Rose has not coughing as many balls up, is she?
No, well, exactly.
Well, the cat's still...
It's trim now. And it was, I don't know, a bit like a mole coming up, submerging from the...
Long grass.
In the shrubbery, and now it's happier, it looks happier.
Yeah.
But now it's more like a, I don't know, like a meerkat amongst the dunes.
We don't like to see sad moles, do
no.
we?
No.
Nobody likes a sad mole.
Let's see chirpy meerkats.
It's happy and it's chirpy. Yeah.
So when you're doing it, was it one foul swoop all off?
All off.
So it's a flipping good test.
Yeah.
If ever
there's a test, because I've seen that.
No nick.
It's not great.
It's filth. That's what it is.
You can just picture a sad mole to a happy meerkat. Yeah.
Exactly. He's up now. When I unbutton, he's happy.
Yeah.
And you too, ladies and gentlemen, can have a happy penis. All you've got to do is get your Manscaped on the go.
A happy penis.
It's got a strut, and we've got a special offer, as always.
Of course we have.
For you under the cosh listeners, the Manscaped Performance Package. Are you interested in what you get with the Manscaped Performance Package?
I'm sure you are.
You get the Lawnmower 3.0 Precision Trimming.
Vroom.
No nicks. You also get the Weed Whacker, which John
hear it.
Is continuing to demonstrate. Again, that is my Weed Whacker.
That's it at work, that.
You get a lovely pair of boxers, the good gruds as
they
well.
They are very good.
Snug looking.
In fact, they're my favourite. They've gone straight in as number one.
Yeah.
Just comfortable.
They're not the Jeff Banks off top spot.
Yeah.
You get a travel bag as well. So when you're out and about, you can take it with you.
Comes in handy.
Thing is, I know we're half joking about, but nobody, no women like, or very few I can imagine like, undoing the zip. And a big bush in the grid.
No. It's unforgivable.
No, you get the shampoo and all that, don't you?
Oh, you get the lights.
Aftercare.
Yeah.
The Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant. We're talking Crop Reviver Ball Toner. And all you've got to do is go to manscaped.com, put in the code COSH20, and you get 20% off.
I mean, all them are good for the spontaneous ones. You know, if you're out for a walk or something. Oh, I've got my wipes in my pocket. 2 seconds, love.
What do you mean? You're out for a walk?
You're not mean, aren't you?
You're in the motorism or cottages.
Oh, not too sure.
You're in the, I can just picture it. You're in the car park. You're just about to turn your light on and you think, oh no, I've not washed my balls.
Yeah. Glove box.
Get it, glove box.
Close your eyes for a minute. Ready?
I'm just polishing them up.
So all you've got to do is go to manscaped.com, put in the code COSH20, and you get 20% off the Manscaped Performance Package.
I mean, if there's anybody who wants to go for a walk with Brownie, do get in touch and he'll show you what he means.
Again, that's not part of the offer.
Dogging? You into dogging?
Nah.
No.
Nah.
What a question that is.
I know, a bit personal. Cut that, mate.
You've got all your gear in the car.
You've been following me.
Just before the Alzheimer's come on, a bit of ball preserver. Away you go. Rowan Vine part two.
Lacking charisma straight away.
Yeah.
Didn't like it.
Do you want to start again?
No. Rowan Vine part two.
Much better.
Evening cautious.
Good? Yeah, all well, you?
Yes. Very good.
Good, good, good. I think it's a little bit split opinion, Rowan Vine part one.
Yeah. Can we say about the start?
Yeah. Want to throw Matty under the bus?
Well,
yeah,
yeah,
fuck him.
Because the original start was solid, I think. Because that's what a few people have jumped on, said he was a bit too much at the beginning. But we must say, we were recording for 15 minutes and then realised one of the mics worked.
Yeah,
And it was a good start as well. And it's never good, it's never the best second time round, is it?
And Viney's not happy with Matty, is he?
No.
For that reason. So
to be fair, he has got loads of jobs to do when we're doing these podcasts. He's got a set up and then that's it. Diabolical.
He's not going to be happy, is he?
Fuck him.
But I thought he was brilliant.
Yeah, so did
I.
And I think the majority feel the same.
Yeah.
Just a few said after the first 10 minutes he came in like a wrecking ball. Well, like, you want characters like that, man.
Yeah.
He came in like a wrecking ball.
And did he?
But no, I think once he calmed down a little bit, I think you saw the true Viney, really.
Mm.
He just wanted to make a grand entrance, didn't he?
He certainly did.
He did.
Caned me straight away.
Yeah, but that missed the cut. That was in the first 15, wasn't it?
So
that won't have been aired.
Excellent work, Matty. Excellent work.
No, it's good, like you said. It's good to have the different characters. And
it is. And obviously,
you'd be boring if we're all same,
yeah, right? Exactly.
I've played against him quite a few times and I never knew he were like that. Until you sit down and have 15 bottles of Peroni and 3 bottles of red wine with you, do you? You never know what they're going
to
be like.
Because I knew he'd be lively because he came to Donny on trial and I've seen snow settle quicker. He was just exactly
straight
how he was.
In.
Yeah,
feet under the table.
Just brilliant. Like, brilliant for
feet
teams.
Feet on the table,
yeah.
Do you mean, he settled quicker than snow, you mean? You've seen snow settle quicker?
Yeah.
That means it took a long time to settle,
doesn't
it?
He's in that mood. Nobody really noticed.
He settled quicker than snow.
Yeah. All right. Can we do that again?
No, leave it in. Leave it in. First one that we've had to leave something really big out.
Yeah. I think we should say that we've had to cut a few little sections out just because I think it's necessary within the context of Rowan's kind of passion and his frustration towards a certain part of his career, and there were certain things that he said that, well...
Yeah. Well, basically, it could have shut us down, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
There's a good chance it could have shut us down.
My bedsit days are over, I'll be honest with you.
Last thing I want to do is be living and dogging in my car all the time. You know what I mean?
You're a pair of shit bags because I said we should put it in. Me and Matty wanted it in. You two are shit houses.
No, so there's some things were said that were outrageous. Then we'd make them onto... We'd be page 4 at paper, I think. I don't think it's on back. I think it's in...
What, the big news?
The big dogs, yeah.
Double page spread?
Yeah, possibly, yeah.
That was our chance of glory, lads.
Yeah.
And you
fuck it
up.
Put it in. Put it in. Anyway, this is the last episode.
And we've been advised that we shouldn't put it in the episode.
We've busted his balls for 3 years.
For the sake of our own livelihoods and not wanting to live out the cars for the rest of our lives.
We had to cover our own backs, didn't we, boys?
Yeah,
I mean, I think it's necessary just to mention that, get a context of
why he's so pissed off and disappointed and
frustration and how his career went.
Mm. I think a lot of people will have half an idea what it is anyway, won't they?
Yeah, but Viney understands as well. Then he said,
"Yeah,
if you can't put it in, you can't put it in."
So,
you know, wins league this weekend as well. We need to mention it because somebody won £950.
Plus shorter £1,000 for a fiver
in the pot.
Life changed again.
So we've got another league this weekend. If you fancy getting involved, just download the Who Knows Wins app on iTunes or Google Play.
I think they're about 15s, weren't they? We'll just have a 30 quid. So that keeps them ticking for another 6 weeks, doesn't it?
Exactly.
Just keep ticking over until, boom, you win your 950 or whatever you win.
And a little service announcement. We're 800 shy of 50,000 subscribers on YouTube, so...
If you haven't
subscribed to YouTube...
Little subscribe.
It's a desperate plea, but...
Please.
Get us over the line.
And put us some comments on iTunes, because after us break, we need to get back up that chart, don't we?
We do.
So if you've got a spare 30 seconds, just put us a comment on iTunes. Good one, obviously. Don't put or if you think we're shit. But you won't be able to listen to it if you thought we were shit. So if you've got 30 seconds, then we're all quick typers now, aren't we?
Any more public announcements for anyone?
Not for me, mate.
No, let's carry on. Oh, memo. Memo's still available if anyone
Ruin!
Wants
to... Ruin! Me
some,
win!
If anyone wants a memo, please do get in touch.
Tuto?
Speak, talk me through Tuto. You know, when you see
what
in a
genre
boy,
are we talking?
What?
What genre are we talking?
Multi-genre. Oh. Yeah, yeah. A bit of R&B.
Bit of everything?
Yeah, a bit of R&B. McSheffrey brought like the Polish house music to the table. I was a bit of, yeah, I'm a bit of a, like, you know, London, got a bit of house and garage and all that. Cammy from Huddersfield, couldn't work that out ever. Don't know what was going on. Danzy, Scouser. But Danzy's got a bit. He can sing.
What's Polish house music like?
Well, it don't exist, but he looks a bit Polish, doesn't he? McSheffrey looks a bit Polish, doesn't he? And then it's like, yeah, trance music,
right,
for you.
Right.
But
So when you say you had a boy band, like, what I mean, what?
No, mainly covers. Not much original stuff. Mainly
not originals.
Just in your own rooms? Or?
We done a few gigs.
Did you?
Yeah. Well, no, we didn't. But we done a few, done a few hotel room gigs.
Yeah. So in your own rooms.
Got a tune out of a few people, yeah. No, we called ourselves Two Tone. Like I say, a cover band. We didn't write much original stuff. We were playing football as well. It was getting in the way, to be honest. But we were out and about. Do you know what I mean? I signed and I stayed in the Malmaison. So, yeah, I've signed in the January. And obviously, I know Gaz from, he was at Luton with me. And I've known him. And, yeah, we were roommates at Luton for a little while. And Gaz is one of the people, he's one of a proper friend in football, if you can have such a thing. But I knew sort of Danzy a little bit, and Kat, he was just quite young lads going out and everything like that. And so this two-tone thing started, and we was towing the line a little bit. But when we started losing games, we were the ones that got it. Do you know what I mean? Because
from who? Like, did it make it to the press?
No, they didn't know about two-tone. Underground movement.
Yeah.
So basically, I mean, I don't want to take it down, but it sounds like it's the four of you singing in your bedroom.
Yeah.
Thing is, little Chris, me and you had a good relationship.
He's fucked it.
I thought this was going somewhere.
I know.
He's just topped it up on the wine, and now he's going a bit spiteful. Who's need to kill my fucking dream? The two-tone, eh? No. The problem, this is the problem. We started losing games of football, which has nothing to do with two-tone. We were
completely
destroyed. It weren't two-tone's fault, was it?
So we played against Barnsley away, I think. Barnsley away on a Saturday, Easter weekend.
That sounds like a good track to debut track.
So we lost to Barnsley 1-0 away. I didn't play. I don't think I played. I might have done. But I didn't do a lot. But Danzy was definitely, like, Danzy played. I think Gaz played as well. Cammy, I'm not too sure. So we lost 1-0. Right, I think it was Barnsley. It was somewhere like Barnsley, but it was somewhere. We lost 1-0 anyway, and the gaffer's giving it. No one goes out tonight. No one. We've got Leeds on Tuesday. No one goes out. But Two Tone have got a gig.
In room 403.
You're speaking this like you're a different person. Like
a professional outfit.
Yeah. Two Tone have got a gig. Sorry, Brucey. Two Tone have got a gig.
So we had a gig in Birmingham City Centre that night. Supposed to play a couple of bars, maybe a strip club, maybe, do you know what I mean? That's where we're supposed to be playing. So we had to call it off. So we weren't happy. But by chance, we got a gig in Leamington Spa. So we've said, we'll fulfill our fucking agreement, contractual agreement.
Obligations.
Of course. So we've gone to this bar, a couple of bars in Leamington to have a few drinks. It's a meet and greet. You meet and greet. So we were in Leamington and we're having a nice night and everything like that. So we're in on the Sunday. We get to training Sunday. Cammy's late. So obviously when these meet and greets, you get on the free champagne and you can't be rude. So we've had a few drinks, whatever. Go to training the next day. Just Cammy's late for a start. So we're on the back foot already. Two-toner up against it.
Two-toner.
He's giving it like, I need to see four people after training. You know who you are. And I'm like, is that Two Tone? I I'm thinking we might have got away with this. Is anyone else out last night? No, no one. But that's us, boys. Anyway, so we got to go in the office, and I'm saying to Danzy, like, listen, like, let me do the talking. Danzy's a fiery scouser. Like, he won't take it laying down. But I'm like,
you're like the voice of the band.
You're Louis Walsh, aren't you?
I'm John Lennon, the Beatles. At this point, I'm John Lennon, the two-tone. So I'm saying, Danzy, slow down, man. Let me do the talking. Anyway, we go in there and he's just give it. Well, yous are fucking out. I've told yous, don't fucking go out. It's the same fucking faces every week. You. And I'm like, all right. And I'm like, well, all right, yeah. He's got spies everywhere, apparently. So we know. Well, I think Eric Black lives in Leamington. So that ain't that hard to work out. Do you know what I mean?
There's and all flight. The posters outside. Two times tonight.
There's flyers. Two times.
Meet and greet.
Two times tonight. Yeah. So, but anyway, yeah. So yeah, I don't know. There was a lot of things, and he weren't for me. He's not my cup of tea. The best one. You'll like this one. I'm going to pick my brother up. This one could go. I'm going to pick my brother up from Bristol Airport. He's coming back from Greece or whatever. Flying down there. I get in the car and that. I like to do a bit of a sing song. You know what I mean? So I think because of the two-tone stuff happening, I think I'm doing a bit of Champagne Supernova. As I get to the good bit, a fucking number comes up on the screen. I don't know the number. And I'm like, fuck, just about to nail it. Fucking pick this up. I'm like, hello? Viney Brownie. I'm like, Brownie? He's like, Phil. I'm like, Phil Brown, Hull City manager. I'm like, yeah, what do you fucking want? He's like, big pals with Brucey. He's giving me a number. I want you to come and play for us. Like, he's giving my number. So he's phoned me, but hasn't said nothing to me because he's trying to get me out. This is when we're in the Prem. He's trying to get me out.
You know then.
I already know because he's pulled a few tricks in pre-season on the tour and stuff. He's going about it in a bad way. He ain't being a man about it. He's a shithouse. You can put that in. He's a definite shithouse. So I've got the call off Phil Brown. Fucking hell. If there's two people in football that look in the mirror and have a wank, it's Phil Brown and Alan Pardew, right? So he's having himself. And he's saying to me, I want to sign you, come in, score the goals and that. The minute he said, Brucey gave me your number, I weren't listening to a word. I was cutting him off and said, listen, I'll be honest with you, mate. I ain't coming anywhere near Hull. And it ain't nothing to do with you or Hull City because I reckon you've got a chance of going up this year. I ain't coming to sign for you because he's gave you my number and he ain't even spoke to me about going on loan and that's poor. I said, so appreciate the call, mate, but I'll speak to you another time, whatever. Bam, put the phone down. With that, I come off the phone. Text my mate, who's a plumber. Said to my mate, hey, here's Brucey's number. Just give him a call, see if he needs any plumbing work doing or send him a text or something. So my mate's fucking firing messages in at Brucey, like, I've heard you've got a problem with the downstairs toilet. Like, do you want me to come and have a look? And he don't know where it's coming from. But I said, like, we had it out a bit. And I said, you ever give my number to someone when he ain't spoke to me? That's what I'll do. I'll give your number out to my pals. My pal's a plumber. He just wants a bit of work and all. Do you know what I'm saying? Ended up, they signed Fraser Campbell and he scores 14, they get promoted. So they've signed the right one anyway. So I've done him a right turn.
Did you finish your Champagne Supernova?
No, I was fucking well off it. It's gone. That pissed me off and all. I was right in a bit, but nailing it.
End up your ass.
Trying to get it right for the two-tone fucking.
So on that then, so if Brucey, they said, look, I've given your number to Phil Brown, he's going to ring you. You might have gone to all.
If he'd have pulled me and said, I've been at the club 6 months. Do you know what's happened? I've signed in January. I've bought a gaff in May. It's gone through in August. I've started the season in the Prem. By September, I'm on loan. My missus has just moved with a three-year-old and a newborn to Solihull in a village. And I'm down the road. So it ain't even about... It's just about respect. He could have pulled me in that three-season trip in Germany and said to me, We don't want... He tried to swap me for Paul Robinson, the left-back for West Brom, and I knew he tried to do it, and he didn't speak to me, and it didn't happen. And I probably would have gone to West Brom, but the way he'd done it was so snaky, I just thought, fuck you. So I stayed, played a few games, played Carling Cup and that. Oh, man, I was on the bench, right, for three games in the Prem. This is the nearest... It's a quiz question. Which player's been promoted three times to the Prem but never kicked the ball in the Prem? It's me. I'm proud of that. I'll take that one. I'm still trying though. So anyway, he he's trying to get rid of me, right? I'm on the bench. We're playing West Ham. We're 1-0 down, 20 minutes to go. Matthew Sadler has been injured. He's been trained for 5 weeks. He's sat in front of me. 1-0 down with 20 to go at home to West Ham. Ain't got a point on the board. Turns around, you're going on. Points at me. Obviously, I'm a striker. Start zipping down the coat. 2 minutes, I'm getting ready, pads on. He turns around, what are you fucking doing? I'm like, going on in that event. No, you. So Sads. Sads turns around and says, Viney, I'm sorry, mate. He takes Fabrice Mwamba. He takes someone off. Not Fabrice Mwamba, someone else. Takes someone off from midfield. He puts Stephen Kelly in midfield. And then he changes Sadler. He changes four changes. And we lose 1-0. Cut to the Tuesday. I'm raging and training Monday, Tuesday. I go and see him. Gaffer. What were you doing on Saturday, mate? We're beating 1-0 and you put a left back on. And then you change the left back to right back and the right back to midfield. And we need a goal. Nah, I didn't do that. I'm like, no, you fucking did, mate. I'm fucking watching. I'm fucking trying to grab up. No, I didn't do that. Someone must have been injured. I went, no, they weren't. So from then, it had just gone. It had gone. So I had to go.
So do you think you were half clueless then?
Massively clueless. Listen, I don't give a fuck about people that have had success. What we perceive as success, promotions, keep them up from relegation, stuff like that. If you're crap, you're crap. If you're crap, get good people around you. Eric Black's one of the best number twos there's been, mm-hmm. right? Steve Bruce hasn't got a fucking clue. Steve Clements, love Steve Clements, obviously, as well with Ray Clements, rest in peace as well. Lovely guy, only met him a couple of times, but like, that's my opinion. Like, I don't, you know, that's my opinion. That's how I see it. I've had 27 managers, professional managers. He's put it for me, shit, but. That's my opinion. It doesn't matter, does it? Well, your opinion might be different, so is yours. I think in football, mate, I've had to face a lot of things. And I think in football, people will go so, so far and make some very, very weird decisions just so they don't have to look in the mirror. And what you have to do before anything is look in the mirror. And people will look for excuses. Players, managers, everyone. And most of them are chasing a pound note, greedy as fuck, will use the game and use players to get themselves a position. And that's what I feel about a lot of people. And if I don't make a connection with people on a football basis, then I have to form the opinion that they don't see football the way I do. And whether I see it right or wrong, or people don't agree with me, that's their opinion. Everything we talk about is an opinion, especially in football. And people love Steve Bruce. People love Neil Warnock. I think they're both cunts. I don't know if you can say that. So I think they're both pricks.
No, you can, yeah.
So basically, that is my opinion for different reasons. But to be honest with you, I'm not mad at either of them. I don't mind Steve Bruce at all because he's not a nasty person at all. But
so
I think there's a difference
there. You, before your missus moves up to Birmingham, look, like, before you buy this house, move your family up, it's not going to work out. You'd have had much more respect for him.
Yeah, much. I went to speak to him one day and said, like, why did you sign me? And he went, well, you scored 3 goals against my team. And I'm like, fucking, is that it? I goes, well, Blackie Lakeshire. And I'm like, well, but because like on your dear, you're like Cameron Jerome. I'm like, I've never played like Cammy in my life. Like, I played, do you know what I'm saying? He didn't
better
know.
Singer, granted.
Yeah, he had the chiselled six pack in that though, Cammy. That's why he's in the band. Look at it right. It's not all, that going on.
Yeah. I've just got this fucking, this vision of Peter Andre, but it's Cammy.
You would have a vision of Peter Andre, mate. You've had a couple of Peronis. You're starting to watch him tonight.
So you're more like the Gary Barlow, the talent, but let the good looking lads perform up front.
What are you trying to say? Me and you are falling out. No, I'm fucking. I told you, I'm fucking got the lot.
The talent. I'm
I've got the lot. Yeah, I'm the talent and the looks.
It's that.
You can't have it all.
I fucking started the band. It's my name. I picked the members. All the fucking masters are mine. You know what I mean? Everything's mine. I took all the money.
Your relationship started so well as well.
Yeah. But so that was that. I had to leave after 7 months, and I've just moved, like you say. But
did you feel any pressure of the £3 million prize tag?
I didn't feel any pressure. I've never felt pressure once when I've played a game of football. That's what I do. I understand people being sick, being nervous, all this. Just start the game. Like, I've had shit games. Of course I have. It don't bother me. £3 million. I was more pissed off. Not pissed off, but I was more like, that's fucking, I'm getting in the Premier. Fuck it. Boom. And I played well enough in them games to get a chance in the Prem. But he knew that I had never played in the Prem because I'm vocal about it. So I know when someone I know what's going on. Like, you think you've got that over me. Do you know what I mean? On a Friday, we train. We're playing Chelsea, first game of the season at Stamford Bridge. He pulls me and Danzy, says, you ain't in the squad, but I want you to travel to London. I'm like, no, fuck off, mate. Like, trackied up on that, like a fucking water boy. Danzy's like, yeah, we'll have a night out, loving it. I'm like, no. End up going, and I'm fucking standing there like a Joey, like watching the game, and then you're in the bar after and that. And I just, it weren't for me. Like, I've got to play. Everywhere I go, I've got to play. I don't care what level it is. Like, if I'm not good enough or you're not going to pick me, just let me know and I'll go. But he didn't want to let me know, so I had to then force it. It's all the politics of it. Oh, well, he's got 2 years left, 2.5 years. We might have to pay him and rah, rah, rah. End of that day, fuck it, I'll choose where I'll go. And I went QPR, 23rd in the champ. Mick Arthur was manager. That's why. Hull were much better. Much better. But I don't give a fuck. Like, I'm going to play. But I'm going back to London and I'm going to go and do what I want to do. Yeah, yeah.
Was it better financially?
No, because I went on loan. I was going on loan.
Oh, so you still get the same?
They didn't want to pay me up. And let me, that's what I'm saying. They didn't. No one at Birmingham's ever got to pay up. I don't care. Like, if you want me to go, I've got 2.5 years left. Do you know what I'm saying? This is what you've signed me for, 3 million. Now you're fucking me off after 5 months. I've moved my family up here. No one cares about that. These fans don't give a fuck. No one gives a fuck about how you're feeling about it. So I go to QPR, staying in a hotel, and I catch fire straight away because of Mick Harford and because of the boys there. We bring Martin Craney in. They just signed Ledgerwood. They've been beat 5 by West Brom, but we go 4 games unbeaten. Mick don't get the job. They bring this Italian guy in, Luigi Di Canio. He loved me. I'm playing left wing, 4-5-1, sort of 4-3-3. It's first time.
Is Mick Harford a big reason for signing, though? Like you said, you loved him.
Massive reason. I wouldn't have gone. It would have been, I think I had Ipswich as well. I think Jim was at Ipswich, Jim Magilton and John Gorman. I think they were at Ipswich. They wanted me as well, but I just felt like West London, like I'm half
back
hour
home.
From home. Yeah, I'm half hour from home, and it just felt right. And I didn't mind that they were 23rd. I don't care about that. It does not bother me. I will start games, and I'll do well, and I'm an influence on the changing room, so an influence on the pitch as well. I believe that. No matter all the madness, what everyone thinks and says, like I said before, I'm a winner, and I'm a team player, and we will win games. We started off brilliant. Mick didn't get the job. He was never going to get the job, and that hurt me a little bit, but I stayed for the 2 months on loan. I go back there, train for the 2 days. They accept the bid. I speak to my agent. We're going to go. I know what they're offering. It's massive money. It's massive money compared. Doesn't even... The fucking chairman, Gianni Palladini, got a lot of love for him. Lovely guy, but he's fucking useless. He phones Karen Brady. They're haggling over the million. And he's like, you fucking... We're going to get the best striker you have. You let him come to us. We pay him fucking 11,000 a week. You only pay him 7. He gives her the information that she can't have. She phones me and says, oh, yeah, obviously... I'm waiting January the 11th for 150 lumps loyalty bonus because they changed it from signing on fee to loyalty bonus with the other little dickhead agent who got it wrong. So my 150 is in that. I'm a day away from it, 10th of Jan. She goes to me, rings me, hello, hello, it's Karen. If you think you're going to be here tomorrow picking up that 150, you are mistaken. If you take the 150, you'll be trading with the under-10s tomorrow. See you later, bye-bye. By the way, I know what QPR have offered you, the chairman told me. So I'm on 8 grand a week here, or 10, or whatever I'm on for going up. Because I don't think, I didn't have an increase because I joined in January. So that was another thing. So I'm still on 7-8 grand a week. So they've offered me 11 grand a week basic at thingy. That's all fine and dandy. I knew how she was going to play it. So I know I ain't getting a penny out of them because I've heard no one gets a penny out of them anyway. I don't give a I don't really care really. I'm going to go. So I get a phone call from Briatore. He's on the yacht in Saint-Tropez. And he's like, what's the problem? We offer you the deal. You don't take a deal. You take the deal. You tell me what we're going to do. You tell me what we're going to do. I was like, well, I'm about 900 grand shy. So they end up giving me 180 grand a year signing on fee for 5 years. So I get the whack, 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 whack. So now I go, catch you down the road. Hey, Karen, catch you down the road. See you later.
Where's that boat? I'll come and sign it.
I go straight down there and we're on a Friday and I'm training with the kit on, but I ain't signed the deal. It's still, I'll tell you now, they're running the contract out from the office at QPR to the training ground, bit by bit, one page at a time, running it out. I'm signing it as we're doing the warm-up. Sign it. Because he wants me to play against Chelsea on a Saturday because I was one of our best players at the time. doesn't register it in time anyway. So I don't get to play Chelsea, but I signed the deal and we play Chelsea, we get beat. And then they sign a few more players and we start to get going. And I'm loving life. I'm loving it. I'm back on board. We've got a good chance. We're there or thereabouts. We're getting good. We're about 15th in the league, but we're starting to knit it together. You can see it's coming together. The manager, useless.
What was that?
Luigi Di Canio. Didn't speak a word of English. He had a translator, which was another thing altogether.
Never going to work. That,
never going to work.
Would you have stayed and sat it out, though?
What do you mean? At Birmingham? Yeah. No chance. No, I wouldn't have. There's no way. Looking back, I'd have played for Matt Alex McLeish because they went down. He signed McFadden and all these, and they went down. If I'd have stayed, I probably would have played, but it just didn't make sense to me at the time, and they didn't want me there, and McLeish had made his mind up in that 2 minutes. So I was like, yeah, that's enough for me. I'll do one. And like you say, the opportunity to play for QPR and get that deal and be settled and move back here.
It ended up working out fucking perfect for you, yeah. Really, didn't it?
Well, yeah, apparently. But financially it did, but 2 months later, I got my leg broken training by my teammate, which has never probably happened before, and it probably won't never happen again. So we want to talk about how it ends up. I went there, was one of our best players for 3-4 months, April the 8th, with 4 games left of the season. We have an open day training where there's kids there with their missuses, and got my leg broken like 4 places by the keeper.
What happened?
On purpose.
What happened?
That's the first time anyone's ever heard this on purpose.
What do you mean it on purpose?
Well, he two-footed me, so...
Was the history?
No history. Bizarre sequence of events which you just have
is
to...
Is this like on. A family day where you have
kids in. Yeah, open day. Got a game on the Saturday. Fucking, we're nowhere in the league. We're like 15th, 14th. Steadied the ship. We're going to go next year. The keeper's an American keeper, Matt Pickens. Only joined in January. Nice enough kid. Didn't play a minute. Didn't play 1 minute for the club. The only thing he'd done was broke my leg. The only thing of substance. So one day in training, he's having a bad day. And, you know, everyone knows what I'm like. I'm on ya. If you're having a bad day, I'm on ya. It's always banter. I'm on ya. Someone's hit a shot and he's flapped at it. He's turned around. I've pushed him in the net. It's a goal, but it's not. He's thrown the ball at me. I've volleyed it back. He's like half-budded one. And I'm turned around. He's hit me in the back. Took me down. Like, everyone's laughing. I think that's it. 2 minutes later, Martin Rowlands puts a ball through. 1v1, he comes out. So I'm going to dink him. But last minute, I think I smash it. I smash it right in his boat. Not on purpose, I'm going for goal, but he's hitting right on the conch, right? Bosh. He's raging now. So by like, whatever it is, grace of God. 2 minutes later, exactly the same through ball, but it's gone a little bit further. This time I'm dinking him, definitely. So I've looked down, planted my left foot, dinked him with a right, but I'm looking down. As I dinked it, looked up, I've just seen the knees coming towards me. So my left foot's planted. He's hit me like just under the knee. I just heard a clap. Like, I didn't feel nothing. Didn't hurt. Just heard a massive clap. And I've just landed, somersault on my back. So I'm like bang in shock. And he stood over me, giving me the Roy Keane. Yeah, he's giving it, don't take the fucking piss out of me, all of this.
You've bridged.
Yeah, he's gave it to Roy King. And he's trying to pick me up. And I'm like, mate, you broke my leg. Get off. I'm not screaming. They're carrying on playing because they think it's like boot on boot or shin pad or some. Like the boys have said, didn't even. But I didn't scream or nothing because I'm double hard. actually,
you've been fucking boxing at
I should have moved the leg. But anyway, so that happens. And you can see it's broken. I think Gaz Ainsworth comes over and he sees that he's a qualified physio. He says, bro, it's broken. Gaz Ainsworth was a qualified physio, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And what's his reaction?
He is in a good boy band.
Who, the boy or yeah. Gaz?
Yeah.
The boy, as he sees me say, you've broke my fucking leg, we're looking down. There's like a red mark on my shin and it's mutating. It's mutating, like it's moving around. So I've looked and gone... Big Damien Stewart, big Jamaican, he's looked and he's been sick. He's seen what's happening to my leg. So I'm fucked. So we get they come on with a frac pad, the cocodamols and all that, and I'm starting going into shock and that. And we're in the physio room and what happens is, where we are by Heathrow, if you get an A&E ambulance, it'll take you to an A&E hospital. If you go to the A&E hospital, you have to get transferred to London, to the private hospital. So they've got an idea. We'll just take you straight to the private hospital, the one we use. So they try to put me in a Saab, like, saloon car. But I'm 6'1", so I'm in the back, and my foot's hanging out, and they've slammed the door on my foot. Like, and I'm like, no, no, no.
It's Benny
Hill. It's Benny Hill. Like, Benny Hill. And I'm like, no, no. So then they've got me out. Got the frac pad on, like, and they got me out, and they've gone, well, like, we need a 4x4. This is 2008, so every fucker's got a 4x4. Gone upstairs, and like, right, we need to take Varney to the hospital. Who's got a 4x4? Everyone's going, nah, not me, mate. Like, Damien Delaney, bless him. He's gone, yeah, I've just picked up a brand new, like, white Range, the Overfinch. You can take it. And I'm like, they put the seats down. I'm in the boot of a Range Rover Sport going to hospital in Marylebone, where I'm going to have the operation. But like the
physio, you know you need an operation straight
away. But a physio's in the back and another, I think a player or a physio in the back, and if one physio's driving. Oh, I knew. But I'm only on the Coca-Cola mall. But I've rang my mum and I'm fucked here. Like, 2 seconds later, I get a phone call off my brother. I'm on the way to QPR training ground. I'm gonna fucking do Lee Camp. I went, yeah, you can do that if you want, mate.
You weren't talking about it.
No, he's all right. So like half like, I'm saying,
he's a bit of a cunt, but he's all right, cunt.
You know, Campy's my pal, so you're like, I don't know why you got a problem with him. No, it's really fair. He just jumped the gun thinking someone, I told my mum the keepers broke my leg, whatever, but
Campy been there, wasn't he? Fucking flip.
Yeah, with the air, but totally, yeah, the so yeah, it was a nightmare. We go there and like, yeah, to be fair, it was fucking brutal. Had the operation that night. I didn't have a plaster cast. I broke my leg in 3 places, basically. And it was worse than what people thought. And the situation was really bad. And I was 25, and that was pretty much the end, looking back now. But for so many reasons. I woke up after sort of 2 days on the morphine and everything, and it come up on Sky Sports, like, freak training ground accident. And I was like, that's a lie. And like you say, going back to when I've been lied to before, probably coming from a lot from my childhood, from my dad and stuff, and any manager that's told lies, and any person that's told lies, I'm like, we'll just tell the truth, shall we? And see what everyone thinks.
Yeah.
Because I was still well thought of and had 3.5 years left, well, 4 years left, and all this, they're going to look after you and blah, blah. I had to roll with it against my natural instinct. It weren't an accident.
Do you actually like know 100% it weren't an accident?
Well, because three days later, he's begging to come and see me. My missus is there and a couple of the players, Gav Mann, Martin Rowlands, and they're like, Viney, you've got to let him come and see you. You can't stop crying. I went, yeah, but my leg's attached to the ceiling at the minute. So I don't give a fuck. He ain't coming to see me because I know what happened. Anyway, he does come and see me and he walks in, starts crying. And I said, I don't know why you're crying, mate. Like, I'm the one here.
Yeah, my leg's he's got
the bag in here and he's like, I said, listen, I'll be honest with you, mate. The only crumb of respect I'll ever have for you is if you admit what you've done. And he was like, yeah, red mist came down, never happened before. I wanted to let you know you can't take the piss out of me. I'm a piss taker, I'm sure you're aware now. I like to take the piss, that's what it is, but I've never hurt no one. And I've never hurt anyone like that on a football pitch, let alone my teammate. And for me to get round that and for him to know he's done that, like, I needed him to admit that, and he did. And he said, I'll never say that it's anything else.
Can you forgive him?
Who, the guy?
I was about to say that, because you say he came in and he said, like, I'm really sorry.
Yeah, but the best thing about it was he bought a present for me. And I'm opening the present, and it's the Lance Armstrong book. It's not about the bike. And I can't quite tie it why he's bought me that book. So I've just thrown that straight out the window. But I'm like, it's not about the bike. I don't understand what you're trying to say here, mate. Like, but so in a word, yes.
If you've caused the injury, is that the right thing to do?
What book could have been relevant?
No book.
If you'd said to him before he did it, he went, you're going to break his leg badly and he's going to be out for however long and ruin his career, he'd have gone, do you know what? I'm not going to do that.
Have you lost your head at any point during training or in a game? John, have you lost your head?
I wouldn't. Nobody would want that to happen.
No.
Never, to a point that you that might have.
1,000,000% in training, no. Never lost my head like that.
But he's come out and no, said.
Derek Greer, yeah.
Red mist.
Yeah, he knew. Like, he didn't want to break my leg. He didn't want to break my leg. He wanted to.
He just wanted to lay one on you, didn't he?
Yeah. I understand that. And listen, forgiving and forgetting all that stuff is fine. What happened was the trials and tribulations for me was that obviously the first rehab was tough for me, and I ended up seeing the doctor and got diagnosed with depression. But the doctor sort of tried to say to me, I don't know if he'd done it on purpose or whatever, but he said, the reason why you're depressed is because you ain't got football. It's the first time in your life you've not had football. If football comes back, you should be all right. Take these pills and you might be all right. 6 weeks of the pills, stopped taking the pills. Didn't feel much better anyway. And then just concentrating on my rehab. But for me, there's a reason I don't head the ball. There's a reason I don't go in for tackles. There's a reason I'm not a physical player, because I was afraid of getting injured. Not afraid of getting injured, someone injured me. I was afraid of being out of the team. So I didn't put myself in positions. You know, players will fly into tackles and stuff like that and think it's brilliant. That's for them. It's not for me. Give me the ball and I'll make things happen.
We learned that even before the injury.
100%. That's why I went injured. I played 285 games by the time I'm 25, from 19 to 25. That's 50 games a year. Like every time, everywhere I went, I played. Every time I was out of the team, I'm leaving. I'll go somewhere else where they want me. Bang, that's how it happened. So to get to that point and get injured like that in training was so hard for me to take, because that wasn't, I didn't believe that was my path, because I was careful about that. Do you know what happens after that? When you come back and you're doing the same thing, I don't head the ball and tackle, it's because I've got injured. But before, I never done it anyway. Yeah. So what happens is, I struggled with dealing with it. I came back in the May, that was 2009. I played two games and then we're off for the summer. Came back, Jim McGilton was manager. First game of the season, I'm not playing. Come on for 20 minutes against Blackpool, I think. Go out for a header. Someone's kicked me and my hips popped out a joint. Gone back in, but there's problems. I can feel it. It's like vibrating, but I'm the last sub, so I'm carry on. Go play against Exeter, play 60, you can feel it. I'm thinking, how's my luck? Like, I'm back, but now I'm fucking got this. 2-3 months in, it's worse and worse and worse. But we're under a bit of pressure. Jim's under a bit of pressure. Magilton said, come in. Jim Magilton and John Gorman are coming. I was playing. I played after that. I got in the team, was playing probably 6-7 games. Get beat 2-0 at Swansea. And I'm the only person dropped. But with the second operation, I refused to go to Paris and have the operation done, because the owner, Briatore, demanded I go to Paris to have it done, because he said the surgeon had fucked up the first time. But it was a lie, because the surgeon hadn't. It was just science didn't match up.
Yeah.
So he wants me to go to France and we have a sort of disagreement about it. And it's on me, it's not on the physio, it's on me. And I don't go. So after that, he starts calling me Dr. Vine, and he's on me. Do you know what I mean?
The owner's
on me. And we're not getting on great. And he's sort of like the dictator style owner. So it was tough. He didn't want me in the team. So every time, he's now telling managers not to pick me. Like, and that was what Jim was up against. And to be fair, I didn't play for a couple of months. And then Jim come to me the day we played Watford. We get beat, and that's when he got sacked for headbutted at Akosbuzaki.
Yeah.
Didn't he?
Were you there?
He headbutted at Akosbuzaki.
We've heard about that. Have we?
I think it was two things. I think Jim was a little bit past a hothead, would lose his temper, and Akos was non-responsive to anyone shouting at him. So the spectrum was wide. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But he only put him on for 20 minutes. He didn't do nothing wrong. We lost the game, but he was under Big P at the time. And I think Akos threw his boots down and like Jim's going, do you think I pick on you? And he's like, well, yeah, you do. And then it's like red rag and he's got closer and closer and closer. Then it's like he's sitting down and he's in his face. He's sort of head to head and then sort of flicked him on a little bit. Like
not a proper Glaswegian kiss, but it was
enough to be contact made. Ajiman stands out, was like, go on, then headbutt me. And he's like, no. And I'm like, yeah, exactly, no. But it was a bad situation. They ended up getting the police in. They were policing. CID came in, tried to interview the boys. I didn't do the interview, fuck that. But yeah, it was bad, it was messy. But that the club was fucked at that time. I don't even know if it's much better now. But.
Was it that bad when he would pick the team? He would try and influence the team?
He tried to with Dowie. I remember because I'd broke my leg and I was trying to come back, and Dowie's manager, and Dowie's under a bit of pressure, and he told him to play a certain team. And to be fair, I think Dowie's team had about 8 of the same players in it. Do you know when their teams matched up? But there was like 3 maybe Spanish or Italian players in Flavio's team. that weren't in Dowie's team. So what Dowie done was he went and done set pieces with no one of that team in his. It was like the Rezzies. So matey's on the balcony watching, losing his nut, thinking he's playing all these. So but Dowie knew this was the Friday or whatever. I'm on Soccer AM the next day. So like they've sacked him. Like he's gone. He didn't even get sacked. He walked off the training ground and just grabbed his clothes and carried on going because he knew what was happening. Fair play to him. And then, yeah, I went on Soccer AM the next day and they're grilling me about it. And they've already vetted me. You can't say this, you can't say that. So I'm sat on the sofa just going like...
Yep. Can't say anything. Yep.
You know what I mean? It's just bullshit, isn't it? So that was happening, but yeah, he was just a control freak. He was a control freak. Shouldn't never be anywhere near a football club. Hasn't got a clue about football. Nothing. Like just an arsehole, mate. Absolute arsehole. And it culminated in I'd made my comeback, and Dexter Blackstock was our top goal scorer with 4 points, 5 points outside the playoffs. Only recognised centre forward. And he got rid of him to Nottingham Forest, day for a game. And Paulo Sousa done the press after the game. I think we drew with Palace. I'd come back and play 20 minutes. He does the press and he's dropped a fucking couple of bombs. I don't know.
Sousa has.
So I'm coming up in the lift and they've gone, we want to do the comeback. I'm like, yeah, sweet. What do you think about Dexter leaving? I went, well, it's a bit of a strange one. He's our top goal scorer. Only fit centre forward. And with 4 points outside the playoffs, a fucking strange one that. But Paolo's already stuck the knife in saying, well, they got rid of my centre forward without telling me, which was true. So I've sort of reiterated, but in a different way. So the next day it's in the paper.
In a naive way, like.
Yeah, fucking just glad to be back. And the next day it's in the papers and the chairman phones me, who's Italian as well. He's like, oh, you fucking make my job very hard. Like, you say these things. I was like, I ain't said nothing. Look at the quotes. He said, it's a strange decision. Anyone in the world can see it's a strange decision that your top goal scorer goes if you're 4 points outside the playoffs. Do you know what I'm saying? Anyone knows that. So he sacks him. Anyway, sacks Sousa, which I didn't like. And then he summons like eight of us to his office in Knightsbridge. And you know, I'm one of them. And I don't want to go. Like, no chance, but I have to. They pick a car, they send a car to pick us up, and we go there.
Why didn't you want to go?
Because, like I said, I've never been one to talk to owners, chairman. It's fuck all to do with me, mate. And you've just sacked the manager. You know that I like him. I had dinner with him the night before you sacked him. He knows I had dinner with him. Like, I love Paolo. We got on great. Whatever. Sacks him, and they made up this bullshit. And it's so brutal what was going on with QPR that it's not even believable. Those two fellas that run a fucking website, We Are the Rangers, whatever it was, a forum. These two guys were in the training ground every.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Every week with the chairman. These two bellends, right, were in the training ground talking to players, talking to people, had the inside track of everything. They're releasing shit on this fucking website.
Like a fans forum.
Fans forum. It's
The chairman
was in their pocket, right? So they do this shit, right?
He wants the fans on his side.
Yeah, so they're doing this shit and they're like, Paulo Sousa's this. They said, this is, do you know what they tried to say? They tried to say that Paulo Sousa had released sensitive information about the squad to the fans, right? They had this whole like, fabricated portfolio of Peter Ramage ain't good enough. Lee Cook's got a bad knee, shouldn't have signed. Lee Camp ain't good enough. All like hammering his players, which wasn't true, but it, like, yeah, it's all propaganda. So we go to this office, who's in there? Damien Delaney, Peter Ramage, Lee Cook, all the ones he's supposedly hammered. The only fucker that's in there that likes the manager is me. So I'm sat at his table thinking, well, how does this go? Anyway, he walks in like Julius fucking Caesar, the fat prick, and he's giving it like, yeah, anyway, Van, I know you're going to say sorry because you need to say sorry because I'm like, sorry? What? No, mate. He's like, no, you apologise because, if you're not intelligent enough to talk, don't talk to the press. I said, 2 seconds, mate. Number one, I'm not apologising to anyone. And number two, don't insult me ever again. I don't give a fuck whose office it is, mate. He stood up, we sat down. It's like some mental like meeting of the gods in Rome, and I don't want nothing to do with it. So we're having it. We're having it. He stood up.
Were you game?
I'm game. I'm game.
Get the pads out.
You've had a fucking do it.
Baltimore
Olympic. I can win this one. No question about that.
Get the pads out.
So I'm like, no, mate. No apology from me. And then he's gone, what? And he said, you talk about Dexter Blackstock, 150,000. That was what? 150 grand was the loan fee to Forrest, right? £150,000 doesn't even fill up my private jet. All the boys start laughing, like sniggering. It's a funny joke. I'm like, it's funny, is it? I was like, that ain't funny. He's like, you don't know what you're talking about. I said, I do know what I'm talking about. I know, because Dex is my mate. So he goes, I'll prove it. He goes, Gianni, ring him. So I'm thinking he's ringing Dex. I'm thinking, if he sticks me in here, Dex, I'm fucked. I'll start shrinking in the seat. I'm like, oh. So anyway, he phones Dex's agent. Right, Eric Walters, he phones him. So as soon as I hear his voice, I'm like,
this is the owner, isn't it?
This is the chairman phoning the agent on behalf of the owner. So I'm like, fuck this. Phone the agent. If you phoned Dex and Dex said, yeah, that's true, I'd have been like, fuck off. I'd have been like, bam. Anyway, he phones the agent and the agent's like, yep, that's true. Dex wanted to leave. Dex wanted to go. No, I'll tell you what happened. They offered Dex a new deal in January. He signs the fucking deal in January because Fulham were after him. They don't put the deal through. The chairman, because the owner doesn't like him. So he thinks he's getting money the end of January, getting the signed on fee and the new wages. Nothing hits. So he realises, phones his agent. His agent's like, nah, they didn't sign the deal off. So the owner's refused to give him the deal. And now he can't go to Fulham because the window's over. So Dex says, I'm never playing for the club again. So they have to send him on loan to Rotten Forest and get the 150 back. So then it's with a view to a move. So Dex says, I'll never play for the club again. Dex is my mate. And Dex might not admit that. It doesn't matter. It's my, like I said before, it's my stories, my truths. That's it. So from then, I'm having it with him. And he's saying shit to me. You'll never play for this fucking club again. I'll pay you tomorrow 500 grand. I said, 500 grand? I've got 3 years left, mate. That's nowhere near it, mate. Nowhere near it. So with that, that's when it started. So I can't play for the team, for any manager. And it goes on and on and on. And it's just so much happened. Until Warnock comes in. Warnock comes in and says, like, rings me. I'm supposed to play in Resi game. Rings me. Tried to sign you 6 times in my career. 3 times this year. You can play anywhere across the top 4. You'll do for me. Come and meet me. All right, sweet. I'll meet you tomorrow.
You'll do for me.
I need a pick.
We've heard that, haven't we?
Our good friends at Hello Fresh are back.
Perfect.
Once again. And they've upped the ante. They've upped the ante. 60% off your first box and 35% off your next 3 when you sign up at hellofresh.co.uk and use the code COSH.
You're not far off eating for free, are you?
Mm.
60% off?
60% off your first box.
Excellent value.
You might as well go big then, ain't you? First one up.
Get
big.
The good stuff in.
Yeah.
Well, for all you regular listeners, you'll be down with the fresh. As we are.
Down with the fresh.
Down with the fresh. Well, we're accustomed now, aren't we? We're on second name terms. But for all you newcomers, HelloFresh provides all the fresh seasonal ingredients and step-by-step recipe cards to cook up delicious dinners at home. And they deliver straight to your door, aren't they?
It's very good.
I were never a good cook, really. I didn't really know what to put in. But everything just comes, doesn't it?
We're now passionate cookers, aren't we? We cook with
passionate what?
Passionate cookers. We cook with passion.
I when you said passionate, I didn't quite hear you when you said cookers.
We're obviously passionate lovers, but we're passionate cookers now.
And as you say, just everything comes, job done.
All the instructions, step by step. They've got a nice variety as well. They've got their extra rapid meals, cooked in 20 minutes or less. I think they've even got extra rapid meals now, 10 minutes.
Mm. It was the low calorie stuff. Coming out of lockdown, you want to get that June body ready.
Yep.
Low calorie for a couple of weeks. You'll be a
the
new
June
man or woman.
Body.
And this month, you'll like this, John. It's roast month.
Oh.
They've got some specials on the roast and brunch.
I'm very, very, very excited about the roast month.
Oh, it's a perfect way to celebrate with loved ones. We're creating a traditional family feast, obviously. I think, what is it? Two households, maximum of 30. Whatever Boris said.
Yeah.
You can have round for tea, but there's nothing better when you go round for Sunday lunch and you're like, oof.
Something outside the box?
Yeah. Mm. Oh, what have you done to these potatoes?
I put bacon in with my sprouts. Do they do that?
Oh, I imagine they do. And then you can just... Oh, old family recipe.
Yeah.
Old family recipe. I can't tell you.
Secret is.
And they've got brunch as well. This week I had one last week.
What's your favourite brunch?
I'll tell you what I had this week. Halloumi wrapped in pancetta, I think it was, with a chilli jam.
No, yeah, that's what that makes it.
Mamma mia.
See that?
It's a little touches, isn't it?
I think I could get into brunch if that means I'm going to be having six meals a day.
Down with a fresh.
Get down with a fresh with the code COSH when you go to www.hallofresh.co.uk. We're looking after you.
This is changing people's diets, not mind changing people's lives.
Warnock phones me and it says, come and meet me, we need a meeting. Right, I know the problems you've been having. He's got the job, he's full of beans.
Bearing in mind, Neil Warnock on the podcast, I think, is our...
Royalty.
Messiah.
Yeah.
Messiah. I mean, we've heard nothing but good stuff.
Yeah. So, do you think, should I give a fuck about
that? No. I'm just saying...
I'm just saying that
we could possibly contradict
everything that we've heard so far. It will, but that's fine. I don't give a fuck if anyone believes a word I say or whatever.
I believe you.
You can't say that because I ain't said it yet.
So that's nice. Just ask me. You'll just say whatever.
You'll believe me and him.
Yeah.
But like you've said before, it's all about personal experience.
100%. I can only tell my truth, and that is I'll go to my grave telling my truth. If someone else wants to tell different stories, that's completely up to them.
Forget all this about Warnock. Forget all this about money and whatever. You know, when you came back from the injury, how hard was it? Or did you come back as good a player as you were before the injury? How did you react to that?
I never had a chance at QPR. I never had a chance to be the player that I was before. Now, the best I played since then was when I was at St Johnston and I played nearly every game and played left wing and was... joint top goal scorer, and we finished third in the league for St Johnston, the highest they've ever finished, and I was a massive part of that team. If I'd have been given the chance at QPR and been given the backing and the support that I needed, I 100% believe I would have come back just as strong. But the main problem was I fell out with the owner, and then after that, the last chance I had at QPR with 2 years still left was Neil Warnock, and he basically brought me to the table, told me to give me the chance, and then stuck the knife in. And then after that, I can't get a club for love or money on loan or anything. I went on loan a few times. I was never fit. Never fit to go on loan. I was never allowed to train with the first team. People don't understand like the levels they were going to keep me away from the football team. People don't understand what they were going to tell him. I wasn't allowed to be treated by a physio. I wasn't allowed to be. They weren't allowed to treat me. I had injuries that went untreated. I had the PFA on speed dial. The PFA came in numerous times. PFA came in for a meeting with me. I walk up the stairs, they're fucking dunking digestives in a cup of tea with the manager laughing, turn around. I went to training 7 months in a row, every day, crying my eyes out, right? That was my time from dropping my kids to school to the training ground for me to have a cry, to let it out. Get to the training ground, wipe my eyes, come in, I'll take you all on. I'll take you all on because... You've made it this. This is not about football. You've made it about money. You've made it about greed. You've made it about politics. And I'm not having that. If anyone looks at it when they were a 6-7-year-old boy and says they wanted to play football and wanted to be in the England team and win the FA Cup, that's not football for me. What happened to me is not football. I needed someone to show a bit of faith in me at the time at QPR. And all I got was people not showing any faith in me and not giving me the opportunity in the right way to get myself back fit and get myself playing and get myself... All I wanted to do was honour my contract at QPR and play football. That's all I wanted to do. So when that was taken away from me for whatever reason, I'm going to react badly to that. And listen, I've already told you, at 25 for the first rehab, after my teammate has snapped my leg in two, which probably hasn't happened to anyone else in football in training. So this is a unique situation. I was already struggling with depression. I was already struggling with things in my head, rights and wrongs. I was already struggling. So this is just another dig until it gets to the point where you can't really take anymore. So I had conversations with my mum at 28, 29. I was going to retire. I had money in the bank. I had houses. So what kept me going? the competitive spirit that I've got that come from my mum and my brothers and my dad are playing football every single fucking day. At 29, I still thought I had enough to give. I went back, done the bit at St Johnston, thought I'd earned the contract at Millwall. Steve Lomas doesn't sign me at Millwall. I go back to Hibs. I'm at Hibs. After a month, I'm sat in a room in Edinburgh in a two-bedroom flat in Edinburgh on my own. Didn't have a fucking clue what was going on. And that's when problems really started and the walls are caving in. And I had no interest in the money. I haven't got any addictions. I'm not an alcoholic. I went to rehab in 2016. I went to rehab. I've done the 26 days in the Sporting Chance. I have therapy. I've had therapy for 4 years. I don't go to meetings. I'm not an alcoholic. I'm not a gambler. I was never a gambler. But I lost 700 grand gambling at that point because I had no attachment to money. I didn't give a shit about the money. I realised at 30 years old that was it. It was done. I realised in my head I was done and I didn't know what to do about it. So
Done with what?
Done with the business, done with football, done with everything, and was just like, this is bullshit. Like, I've stuck in there with the worst treatment for 3 years. I've stuck in there. I've come out the other side. I've done well at St Johnston. They didn't even offer me a deal at St Johnston. We finished third in the league. I didn't even ask for a new deal. Steve Lomas told me he was taking me to Mill on a 2-year deal, $2,000 a week. That didn't happen. I end up signing for Hibs. I get a little injury. Pat Fenlon gets sacked. Bang. Everything's gone mental. So I go to the club. I start seeing a psychoanalyst. I start getting CBT therapy. They talk about existential crises, things that happen in my life. They start talking about the call of the void, all this kind of stuff where, do you know about the call of the void? Where you stand on the edge of a cliff and you think, I'm going to jump, but you don't. Have you ever had that feeling? The call of the void is you get to the edge and then you jump. And I've jumped. I've got to places and thought, you know what? I'm fucking doing this. And when you do that, you come through the other side. And I'm happy. I'm the happiest I've been now. For the last 6-7 months, I've been the happiest I've been for a fucking long time, right? And that's because I've let go of anything, any feeling towards people. Like I tell you, I don't give a shit. I don't want any investigations to anyone. I don't give a fuck about anything that, to do with anyone from my past in football. I'm just telling you, that's how I felt. That's how people made me feel, and that's what I went through.
Was there something that spurred this on where you thought, I've had enough?
No, I'm playing. I left Hibs and I go to Morton for the last 3 months of the season. Sorry. Kenny Shields is manager. And they're 10 points adrift in the championship in Scotland. Play against Dumbarton. Have you ever been to Dumbarton?
No.
So I play against Dumbarton. And Dumbarton play on a racing track, a banger racing track. It's rented to the football team. Playing there and we're 1-0 down and we need to win this game. And I'm getting pelters from the fucking 75 fans in the crowd. You fucking stupid beardy cunt and all this. I've got the big beard on and that. Just where I'm at. And I've just given that one. Fuck off. Got sent off. We get relegated. My last professional game of football was away to Hamilton, right? We got beat 10-2, right? I missed the penalty. I gave away a penalty and got booked. The ball rolled under my foot 4 times, right? So if that's not an indication to tell you that you've got to fucking stop playing, and I'm 30,
it's time to go.
And I'm 30, yeah, and I'm 31 at the time. If that's not an indication, and I don't know what is. So my brother was at the game, and he drove me back to mine, and was like, "I don't know where you go from here." Where I've gone from there is that was 2013, I think. Where I've gone from there is, yeah, it's been tough after that. It's been tough. What I'm trying to say, Parky, is I'm never going to point the finger at someone. That it's your fault, everything that went on was your fault. I had a great 10 years from fucking 15 to 25 on the pitch. Great 10 years. Yeah, we talked about a few things I've gone through, made me a man. I had a great 10 years. Played 300 games of football. What happened? I got injured. No fault of mine. Got injured. And then the politics of football kicked in because I was on a good contract. So now it's like, we'll look after you for 6 months. But then we start demanding shit from you, no matter what, because we're paying you this money. And I tell you what, if I was on $4,000 a week at QPR, I'd have been all right. The fact that I was one of the top earners fucked me.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Obviously, when I signed for Donny, you were on trial.
Yeah.
And bear in mind, I'd played against you at Luton, probably at Birmingham.
Yeah.
So I remember how good you were. When I was at Donny, I don't think you were that player that you were back then.
Yeah, you know.
Did you completely recover from the injury? And has that had a mental effect on you?
Oh, no, I completely recovered from the injury, completely recovered physically from the injury.
Were you the same player, 100%, as what you were before this injury?
Physically, yes, and I could have been, because I know how fit I've been for the last 3 months, which is as fit as I was ever when I played for QPR. So my philosophy on that is, yes, I could have, but that doesn't... I didn't get the opportunity to be that player. When I was at Doncaster, when you were there, that summer was the worst summer. I'd been to Marbella for 5 days with the boys, came back, dropped the
Sounds
bag.
Sounds all right so far.
Came back, dropped the bag, went to Vegas for 6 days. They called me Kid Cudi day and night because I'm at the pool party and the club every night for 6 days. Come back.
Day and night.
So drop the bag. Then go to Glastonbury for 5 days. Split up with my missus just in that run up to that. I've done the 16 day stretch.
Were it the Marbella or the Vegas that done a relationship in?
Glasto. I'll tell you the truth. Lads. So we've gone to Marbella.
Lads.
We've gone to Marbella for 5 days. I'm coming back. My missus is taking the kids to Dubai a day later. So I'm going to see the kids for a day and then they're going to Dubai. She doesn't even want to go with me at the point. We don't even go with each other at that point. But I've stayed. She's gone a day early because she's got the arse. So she's gone a day early to Dubai. So as I come back, there's no one at my gaff. So I go in. I've got a day and then I'm going to Vegas. So I've dropped the bag, cleaned the stuff, bosh, straight to Vegas. But at that point, they're telling me I'm getting a pay up. So I've gone to the bank and got a few more readies out. And then gone and fucking, like, you're having a right go now when you're in Vegas.
You're having a proper go, aren't you?
You're having a right go. And that's the summer when sort of like the woman from Sky Sports phoned me and was like, is the Vegas story true? But there's a Vegas story about me in a limo, which is true. But there's another story about a pint of Jägermeister, which is also true. So I didn't know which one she was talking about. But James Morrison, the West Brom boy, the Middlesbrough guy, he's told the woman from Sky Sports about the pint of Jaeger. But the limo story's a bit better. So I've gone, she's gone, is it true? Like the Vegas story. And I've gone, what, the limo? And she's gone, no, the Jaeger, but what's the limo story? So now I'm double. I've got to do both of them. But the Jaeger story is that we was at rehab pool party and the Middlesbrough boys were there. We're there. They're in a cabana. We're in a day bed. We're not cunts. We just got the day bed by the pool there in the big cabana. Aircon, TV, the lot. They've got this bottle of Jaeger. It's there all day. I can see it. We're fucking flying through our drink. I keep seeing this bottle of Jaeger. I'm like, Yatesy, get over it. I say, these cunts going to drink this or what? And oh, that's our second one. I said, no. I've seen that all day. I've had my heart all day. It's your first one. And they're like, they're not. So I've gone, I'll fucking drink it. I'll do it in one. And they're like...
The whole bottle?
Yeah, so the rehab. You know rehab pool party? You get the shakes, don't you? Like you take the top off, you've got the flask.
I've been to rehab. You were in bed.
Yeah. So you've got the flask, haven't you? You take the top off. It's like a protein shake, isn't it? So they've poured it in and it's a pint. It's a good pint. And I've took on too much now. And
at what point, man, do you think...
I'll tell you what point, because...
I fucked it
too. No, I'm looking at it and I'm going... And all eyes are on me now and I'm thinking... It's like a four gulper, you know, like as you do a pint of beer, but it's like, so it's the second one, it's hit me, but I've soldiered it, it's gone.
Yeah.
I've chucked the protein shake thing, I'm by the pool and Yatesy just gone, crunch, slapped me around the boat. That's just, I've spiraled in, I'm in the pool. They've had to fish me out of the pool. I'm fucking on the side. I'm gone. The pint of Jaeger, it's absolute carnage. They got like the chicken dippers, and they got sour cream. They've painted my face with sour cream. And they're throwing chicken strips in. And I'm diving in and getting them like a seal. bringing them back up. Hey. There was a video of me. I'm like bringing them back. Sour cream everywhere. Bringing them back up. So yeah, but the same trip, I sort of went with a few boys. Wayne Routledge, Hogan Ephraim, a few boys, QPR. But we've piled up with Joey Barton and the Scouse lads. They're out there on a stag do, like a few of the boys. Josh, Andy Mangan, a few other boys. Josh Wilson. So I'm knocking about with these. I've met them before. I'm knocking about with them. We're going heavy, double heavy.
Mangs can't drink, by the way.
Mangs can't drink, but he's good value. He's good value. No, I love Mangs. But yeah, so we've had a few days, proper days, right? We're at this day, right? Caesars. And we're just chilling. We have a couple of strawberry daiquiris. But Colin Calderwood's there. And Joe's obviously at Newcastle. So he Calderwood's a coach there. We've bumped into him. The lads are like, we need to go we want karaoke. So I'm saying like, yeah, let's go karaoke. Like the lads, we'll have a go. We go get a limo outside Caesars and we're like, do you know where the karaoke is? It's an African guy in the big white limo. It's 35 fucking footer. He's gone karaoke. Yeah. I'm thinking, karaoke, it's got to be karaoke in Vegas. We jump in, we're like 10, 12 handed in this massive limo. He's driving us fucking miles away from the strip and I'm thinking, this is moody. So I'm like, hey, mate, where you going? I know a place. We turn up at this ramshackle casino in this car park, mate, and I'm like, it's like a bungalow. And he's going, yeah, there's karaoke in here. But I'm thinking, nah, steady here. He goes, I'm going to go check. The driver says, I'm going to go check. He parks the limo up. One of the boys goes in with him. He's left the engine running and the tunes are on, right? But the cubby hole's open. So I'm like, lads, he's the engine. He wants me to drive, doesn't he? Hey, he's want me to drive this limo, doesn't he? And they're like, no. So I've gone like to climb through it, but it ain't tight for me. I'm slipping in, but the boys are grabbing me to pull me back, and then one of them just let go and I've gone through. So now I'm in, I've shut the thing and I'm like, I'm going for it. So they're in, so I've whacked it into drive and I'm just doing a 5-10 mile an hour flight going along in this car park. Get a bit quicker, start getting, yeah, you get a bit giddy, don't you?
A bit confident.
Go, yeah, tunes are on. And then, like, I go right. It's in a car park, but there's cars stacked up. Like, so I go round the first bit, but the second bit's a bit tight. Like, the car and there's a big enough gap to get a normal car through. But I'm like, gone round, oh, this is tight. So I hit the brake. And Joe's gone, nah, I'm getting out. I can't have this. About 7 fucking warrants for his arrest anyway. So he's out. A few of the boys get out. 2 of the boys stay with me. So I'm like, oi, put it in neutral, push the limo back, and then I'll be able to get it through. So we've pushed it back, whack it in drive again, and I go, vroom, but it goes, crunch. It scrapes against the car. So I've just drove back round. The geezer's come out. He's going mental. Like the guy, the driver's going mental.
Can you imagine? Because it's not a proper sipper.
But it ain't even karaoke. He's lost his mind with it, isn't he?
You're all for a turn.
So I tell that, and he's like, I'm going everywhere. So I've popped, but I don't know how to put it. You know, like the gear sticks on the steering wheel. I've never drove in the States. So I'm like, it's still in drive, but I've got my foot on the brake and he's pulling me out the gaff. So as he's pulling me out, I'm like, nah, he's just going to, it starts rolling. So he jumps in, stops it. And he's like going mental. And I'm in swim shorts and one flip flop, right? That's all I've got on. So he's going spare at me, and I'm like, hey, slow down a minute. It was banter, shit, you're shit banter. give you that, shit one. Like, I'm sorry, but I've had a go. Anyway, he's grabbing my passport out of my shorts. I've got 3 passports in my shorts, not just mine. I've got a couple of the other lads. He's grabbing it out. And I'm like, what are you doing, mate? Get off here. And I'm trying to cash him off with like 100, 200. I'm going up, and he's going, nah, not good enough. And he went, right, he's going to check the car and then drive off. So he walks around it. He don't see, it's got a massive black stripe down the side where I've scraped the car. He hasn't seen it. So he gets in and we're about to go and the security guard from the hotel, everyone's gone, no, he's missed a bit and he's seen the dent. Oh, well, he's gone absolutely spare. He's grabbing me, holding me like this. I've said, boy, you better go. They've got off and I've just pushed him, right? But he's done like the Paul Alcock, you know, like the fucking Palo de Canio when he pushes the ref. He's done the like stagger, ooh. And I'm like, hold on a minute. But that, then his school kicked off. So I've ran and I can hear sirens and everything. So I've done a left and I can see the strip, but it's miles away. So I've gone to run across the road and I've been hit by a cab. It's only going like 10 mile an hour. The lights were red.
But you've been run over?
Mate, it's, you know, like in Vegas, you've got like the 6 lanes. So I've started going when it's red. And then in the last lane, the cab started going and it's hit me like thigh high. I'm on the deck. I'm like,
are you all right? And he shouted, no. He's like, what the fuck, man? Like, what are you doing, man? Jaywalking. I was like, fuck that. Nah, you've just run me over.
And he's, fuck me. It's the lead singer from Two Tone.
He's, yeah. Fucking hell, have you? Performing tonight. Fucking Bellagio. And I've gone like, jumped up. I'm like, I'm all right. But with the sirens going, I've just kept running and running. And so I've ran, jumped into Bally's, the first casino on the strip. And I got myself a disguise. So I got this orange, like, Nevada County Jail hat. And a hangover t-shirt. So they think I'm fucked. Like, I'm done. I've been nicked. So I'll come walking into Planet Hollywood where them boys are and they're all playing the craps table. And I just walk past and just posted up on the corner of the craps table. Like, you're right, guys. And they've looked around and seen me. And I was like, hey! That is fucking mental. But that was that summer. So then I go Glastonbury. And then obviously that's when I turn up. So no, I probably weren't the same player. But at that point, I worked hard in that pre-season to get myself to a place that I could still do something. Do you know what I mean? I'm not expecting, after what I've been through, to come and catch fire straight away. It's very, very hard. Listen, yeah, like I say, we're going back to it. Have I been the most professional person at every single juncture? No, of course I haven't. Has everyone?
I don't think there's many as, mate.
On that note, mate, we need to talk about your trips to Marbella.
I was about to say Jimmy Walker.
Yeah, yeah. No, we've done... We've done like 7-8 years on a bounce in Marbella.
Where were you with Jimmy?
I didn't play with Jimmy.
Makes it even better.
I quite liked going away with people from other clubs because if you've been with someone for 8 months, 9 months of the season, it's nice to pal up with other people and have a good 5 days carnage with people sort of thing. So when I'd done the record, didn't I? I'd done six Christmas do's in London without going on my own Christmas do, 1 year.
Yeah.
So I'd done the Coventry one, I think I'd done the Middlesbrough one, right. I think I'd done the Portsmouth one. I'd done six Christmas do's in London. I actually sorted out some of the Coventry Christmas do in London when I was a QPR player. So the one, that was off the back of, you've had Liam Lawrence on, haven't you? So did he tell you about our fight? No, because he obviously lost. He obviously lost then, didn't he? Because you're not going to tell the story.
Liam's a handy bastard.
Is he? But can he move like me?
he's not been at it since he was fucking 16, so has he?
We'll do that one, right? So it's Tuesday, Cheltenham Tuesday, right? First day Cheltenham Tuesday. Kitson, Hayden Mullins, Lenny, six or seven handed, they are. I'm out with two or three boys in London. I'm in the Mayfair Hotel. They've posted up. They're bladdered. They've had a skinful. It's Cheltenham, innit? They've got back to London. Boom, we're on it. Go Funky Buddha. Crunch, crunch, crunch. At this point, like I told you about the pissing and the shitting, like it coming to football in a bad way. Like people were, for me, people were carnage at some point. Leaving shit
too much. Acceptable.
People were pissing on people, shitting, leaving shits everywhere. Yeah, it got bad. I'm not going to say I weren't involved because I was, but so this particular, I started getting into a bit of shirt ripping, right? Ripping people's shirts and the cardies and that. You know, people are spending a few quid, but I'm wearing a Gap t-shirt, £3. Because I know it's going off. So I'm come prepared. Lenny's posted up with a fucking £300 Prada or D&G shirt. You know, he likes the tight one, doesn't he, with the pecs out and all that. Like, do you know what I'm saying? And so we're doing it. So it happens and I've ripped his shirt, right? I've gone boof. But the top one stayed on. So it looks even worse. He's wearing a cape. It's gone like that.
Was it unprovoked? Had you spoken all night?
Yeah, no, but been with him yeah, having a drink and that and everything and then blah, 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 blah. Ripped the shirt. Shirt's gone, but he's got one still on, and it you know, it's end on a night, but it ain't. It's gone down like a fart in a phone box. It ain't gone down well at all, right?
See, I think it's going down like for me and all of that. And mine.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Where are you going to take it? Like fight or what? Do you know what I'm saying? Like
he's not. John's not a fighter.
Yeah. So don't get the hunt then.
I'll just go like that, mate.
Yeah, it's time to go home. Yeah, of course. Yeah. I understand that, but that's where we're at. So no, mine's got ripped. Don't worry about that. Mine's gone, but mine's a £3 Gap. Or whatever. So I don't care.
So we're at Liam that did yours?
Probably, yeah. I think it was. Probably. But I've definitely done his first. But I've done other people's.
First.
I've done people's. And then we end up, we're sort of around the corner and everyone's had a drink and that. And so I'm trying to square it off and everything. And I was like, look, he's got the ump. We're outside the Mayfair Hotel. Yeah, and he's giving us fucking Prada or D&G or whatever. It's £350. So I've pulled out some money, yeah, but I've only got about like 140 probably. So I've gone to him 20, but this boy's watching. I've gone, is that enough? I've gone 40, is that enough? 60, 80? I'm going like, one-er? And he's just gone, threw the money up in the air.
like that. And I've gone, that's, to be fair, it's all on the, it's on the ground, the money. I've gone, that's poor, mate. And with that, he's tried to go for me. Right, he has, but he's, I've got the movement now because I've done the, I'm better than that, slipped it. Crunch. So we're on and we're having a roll around and they've let it go, the other boys. We're having a proper roll around and I've flipped him over and I'm sitting on him like that and like, I'm going to go for it. Like, it's going. And then the boys have come in. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, right at that critical moment, I've probably overpowered him there. And I'm going to give him...
In your opinion.
I'm going to give him a little clip there. But if you come on a show like this and don't mention it, that obviously means you take the L, doesn't it? That, in my opinion, I'm happy to tell the story. But if you're not, like, do you know what I'm saying? I don't really mind. But that was happening. So, yeah, that was one. We go Marbella every year for 7-8 years. But I can see people off on a 4-day stretch. So day two, they've had enough of me. Because I don't have hangovers. I don't have hangovers. Never had hangover.
At all?
Never had hangover. So if I go away, I'll do 6 days straight. Not a problem. Right? So I'm seeing people off.
10 o'clock starts?
Every time. 10 o'clock, bottle of Heineken, game of pool, see you later. Bosh. Full English. Let's go again. Cup of tea. All of it. So we're seeing people off. So Jim, this day is day three or four of a 5-day stretch. We've gone to Bentley's place, Sala now, but it used to be Buddha Beach. We've gone there. He's with Platty, Clive Platt. I'm with Yatesy. Yatesy is a criminal. Right? Love Mark Yates, love him to bits, but he's a criminal, right? So we're there and me and Yatesy are getting onto people early doors. Like, fuck, this is 11.
Too early.
This is 11, 12.
Yeah.
He's gone. See that Buddha Beach, right? That Buddha Beach bar. In Marbs is, it's got a restaurant and then it's got the bar and the pool, but it's all thrown into like the smallest area ever. Shouldn't have a restaurant. Anyway, he's with Platty.
Clive Platt.
Yeah, so they're with Colchester. He's with Platty and I'm with Yatesy. We have a few others, but we're floating. So like, Jim sat down at the table. So he's obviously ordered food, right? It's because he's at the restaurant bit of it.
Jimmy Walker, in it.
Yeah, Wacker. Yeah, Wacker's ordered the food. He sat there and Platty, I think Platty's standing up doing whatever. So I'm going, oh, you're over there, mate. Have a look at this. There's a jug of sangria on the table. So they're having a sangria, fair play to them. Now, me and Yatesy have concocted a little plan. It weren't supposed to go as far as it went, right? But so, I've gone up on the left shoulder and Jim's waiting for his food and that. And I've just necked like a big glass of sangria with all the fruit and everything. I've necked it. And I can do the thing where you swallow and then regurgitate.
Right, yeah.
So I've gone like that.
Are you a fucking swallower?
Wallop. I've got it there. And then I've gone the other side of it and I've gone blah. And I've puked it back on his plate, right? And it's all come up, all the fruit, saliva, the sangria, the lot. With that, Yatesy just come over, salt and pepper, knife and fork, and just had a little chew up and started eating it like that.
Man.
Yeah, just started eating it, and then Jim just got the napkin after he'd done that.
Time's time.
So that was heavy. That was heavy. But there was one with Wacker when he didn't go in the pool at Ocean Club all day, right? All day. We're there all day. 11 till 8 p.m. stretch. Wacker's got the black t-shirt on because he's carrying a bit of timber by this point, right? He ain't took it off all day and everything. He ain't been in the pool, but I love the pool. So I'm in the pool early doors. So last minute, he's like starting it. Oh, he's gone, watch this. He's ran and he's dived in the pool. But half in the dive, I know he's done the shallow end. He don't know that. He's gone crunch. Hit his head, right? I've heard the crunch. I've gone, oh no. He's come up and he's gone, I'm all right. I'm fine. Yeah. The blood's Reverend. Just gone wallop. The blood's gone. Claret everywhere. All in the pool. He's got out. With that, he goes to the medical place at Ocean Beach, like a little room, like a medical room. He gets the fucking Terry Butcher bandage on the feet all night. He's got
came back out.
Yeah, he stayed out. He's got all day. He's got the bandage all night. He's got a little red dot there. We're walking around. We're in the nightclubs and that. And he's fucking full on.
He didn't tell that one on the podcast.
He might not like that one going in there. But I don't know why.
He would.
I didn't need an invitation. The worst one with a 2-foot was in Vegas because Mikel Ledgerwood is one of the strongest people I've ever played with or against. Mikel Ledgerwood's a beast. And I didn't realise, he was at Reading at the time, he'd just come back from a medial injury and I 2-footed him full on in the club in Vegas and I've cleaned him out and he's landed on top of me.
What does he mean, 2-footed him?
Like, stand up, do you want me to do it? No. No.
Chris, do you know what's funny? Yeah. He's due one.
Is he?
He's due one around the knee.
No. Do you know what it is? If you're on a, say you're somewhere and you're on a dance floor, your feet are in, and you're standing. If you do the sliding two footer like that way and you take the floor and then they're going to underneath, aren't they? So it's like that. It weren't malicious. It weren't knee high or nothing. I'm not Roy Keane. But I'd go in and try and like to, like the, it was a thing as well, wasn't it? Like the, well, probably not for everyone. I say these things are things, but like the pissing, the shitting and all that stuff was a thing. The two-footers were there as well. And you know what I mean? I didn't mind throwing one out there just to let people know I'm about. You know what I mean?
So you two-footed the legend would?
I two-footed him and I think he grabbed me by the throat on the floor. Everything about him wanted to punch me in the head and he punched my lights out.
Did you regret it? Yeah,
100%. That's 100% because he left after that. He'd had enough like of the night. He went, nah, fuck that. And I was like, I'm really, you know what I mean? He's coming back from injury. But
there's that moment in there when you
100%,
think,
and he's my mate, so I'll be no, of course. And like, there's no, I didn't know that I didn't recollect that he'd just come back from an injury and stuff like that. So I was doing it and trying to get like, I just thought it'd be funny. And you know, when you think something's funny and then it's definitely not. Like,
you've got a bit of definition in your cheekbones today, Chris.
Have I?
Yeah.
You know what that is, don't you?
Why?
For the JB. The June body.
Oh, whoa. See, I like it. I thought it
was just the fresh shave look.
Yeah, I've gone for that as well, but it all goes hand in hand.
Have you been on the Harris?
Yes.
Oh.
Excellent again. Do I look well?
You do. You look absolutely splendid.
Do I?
5 out of 10.
I'll take it.
You know you're not going to get no comments from this guy. Table, <aren't you?
laughs> Well... If you didn't know, Harry's is the story of two men, Jeff and Andy. Jeff and Andy were so frustrated with overpriced razors, they started Harry's to find a solution.
We needed a bit of music behind that. Could you put that in the edit?
I'm thinking you should have been on a kids' programme, reading to kids, with that.
Well, they decided by taking less profit, men of the people, you see, Jeff and Andy, Harry's could offer great quality products at a bloody great price.
Sold.
Should be MBEs.
Straight away.
Should be MBEs.
Yeah.
They'll do for me.
It's scandalous, the prices of some of them razors.
And as always, Under the Cosh, providing you with a little bit of a discount if you want to chisel yourself up, get yourself clean shaven. With the Harris Trial set, you get a weighted ergonomic handle. Oh yes, you get the new 5-blade razor cartridge. You get a rich, lathered shaving gel. And of course, a travel blade cover to protect it when you're on the move.
So he's gone from Jack and Ori to Bruce's Prices Right in about 10 seconds, hasn't he?
And for a limited time only, get this, when you go to harrys.com/cosh, you'll receive a free travel-sized shabby gel as well.
I'm going to change the tone of voice for this.
Okay.
All of this is worth £14.50. But you'll pay just £3.95. How was that?
Good. I'm not sure.
That is an offer and a half.
I'm not sure what other job role you could have with that, but it would definitely change the tone.
£14.50 it would cost you.
That's still good, that, by the way.
Price.
That's still a good price, but, not for you, not for you guys.
Out, once again, all you're going to do, postage and packaging, £3.50.
£3.95. Maybe if your missus is starting to get a little bit of a tash, get it for her. I know it might be a bit of a touchy subject, but she'll thank you in the long run.
All you're going to do is go to harrys.com/cosh, put your order in, get your package delivered.
Get the comfortable shave you deserve.
This has been one of the most obscure adverts we've ever done.
Another thing with Harry's, getting serious for a second, they support great causes as well, because for every order, 1% goes to global charities, organisations that provide mental health care for men.
I'd like to meet these two, would you?
Yeah, come and get them on.
Yep. Get them on the quiz.
What about wrestling with the sunglass salesman? With Jimmy?
Oh, yeah. Oh, mate. Oh, yeah. Basically, right, this one, I'm not taking this one as my bad, because, yeah, the what do you call it? The guys, that's the vendors on the beach and everything in Mars, he's come up and that, and he's trying to sell the sunglasses and the moody watches and all that. But he had a nice, like, T-shirt and jeans on, and I like the look of the T-shirt and jeans. So I said, "How much for your clobber?" Like, I'll buy the clobber.
Oh,
don't want the moody fucking Gucci's and all that. I want your vest and your jeans. Like, we'll have a swap up, have my swim shorts, and And he didn't quite understand what I was saying. So I started pulling his T-shirt and that. And then someone maybe had nicked a pair of glasses and all that. So he's lost his head. So we end up getting into a bit of a tussle.
What, you and him?
Me and the geezer, yeah. Me and the vendor. I think it's me and the geezer end up having a roll around on the thing. But then his pals turn up because they're mob-handed. And I was a bit out of my depth on that one. But there's a good one like in Vegas with the wrestling. With Barton, because they're all there on a stag do.
Joey Barton.
Yeah, they're doing a silly thing where they clear the room and they have like the UFC wrestling fights. And he's done a couple of people. Like he for his height and for what he is, he's a strong fucker. Like, he's not a big guy, is he? But he sent a couple of people packing, including his brother, including his mate. And we're there and I'm thinking, I ain't getting involved here. But then the pressure's on, so I'm like, fuck it, let's have it. But we've ended up having like the toe-to-toe proper wrestle and I've choked him out. So yeah.
Really? Congratulations.
He tapped out. That's a fact. You can ask anyone who was there.
In the boozer?
No, in Planet Hollywood, in the room. We cleared the room, all the beds and the sofas, and there was like a little ring. And I've ended up choking him out. And he'll take that on the chin. Well, yeah. He might not do, because, you know what I mean? But he should take that. That's a fact.
I don't. Yeah. We kind of brushed over everything in Scotland, mate. But how do you look back on it?
What, the Scotland?
The old career.
For 3-4 years, I didn't accept a lot of things because, I think there's a good part of me that has got enough, not excuses, reasons to say like I didn't get a good deal at a lot of time, a lot of places. So I'd have had a lot of bitterness, a lot of anger, a lot of upset for 3 or 4 years. But sort of 2016, from then onwards, I've accepted what it is. I should have played in the Premier League. I thought I was good enough to play for England. You know what I mean? The first time I thought someone was better than me was when I played against Joe Cole and he was unbelievable. I accepted that, but then I got better. And I think I left a lot there at 29, leaving and not playing for 3 years. At 25, before I broke my leg, I was on the path to where I should have been. And yeah, a lot of things happened. And it's hard for me to take for a long time. And to stop playing at 31, for me, it was criminal because I got so much. So, you know, it took me a long time. And all the stuff I'm doing now in terms of the foundation I'm trying to set up and the path I'm trying to take is like I'm fit and healthy. I'm still playing football. I love it. I've got a 17-year-old, a 13-year-old boy that love football. And I just want to be a role model to them. And I want to show people that you can come back for things. You can get fit. It's never too late to do stuff. And I'm more at ease now than I've ever been with everything in life. So
you're in a good place now, though.
Yeah, listen, I've got no... I say to everyone, you need to learn to live with regrets. And some of the decisions I've made, I'm not proud of them decisions, but I accept that I made them at the time because if you thought you had the ability to make a different decision, you would have done.
All
an experience.
Yeah. I've got no problem with it. But what I would say moving forward is I want to help people, but I also want people to know how far. If you appreciate your own darkness, that's a method for dealing with how other people can have darkness. Do you know what I'm saying? So my level of darkness has got to be comparable to other people's level of darkness. And that's what I would say. Don't go into it blind and don't be naive at times. Know that every single business and institution can be an arsehole and that's no different. Football's no different to that.
But you're looking forward.
I'm living in the present. Happy? I'm living in the present because the things I learned from going to rehab is that you have to live in the present. You know, don't get too far of yourself, but don't get dragged in the past. And like, I live for today. And there's only 3 people that can be disappointed with me. And that's my mum and my 2 children. There's only 3 people that I can be disappointed with. And that's my mum and my 2 children. Other than that, nothing surprises me. Nothing shocks me.
And nothing bothers you.
And nothing bothers me. People let you down and you let people down. That is life. You can't please everyone. So as long as my mum and my 2 kids are proud of me and the other way around, everything else is give and take.
And your T-shirt, man. We've got to mention your T-shirt.
Yeah, we mentioned
Romeo's
it.
Broken Heart.
Romeo's Broken Heart. That is a campaign that we started for my good friend's little boy who was born with a lot of problems connected to his heart. And after sort of 14 months and having 4 major operations on his heart, including open heart surgery, they've sort of said that he needs a heart transplant. But at the minute, he seems too ill. He's got a lot of problems, too ill to even maybe go on the donor list. So we started a GoFundMe page and we raised sort of 15 grand in about a week, which is good because it takes a lot of pressure off the parents in terms of utilising that money. But the awareness is massive because organ donation in children is very, very limited. Babies' hearts don't come up a lot and people won't rush to put their kids on the donor list. So it's just basically an awareness to say, go, if you've got 5 minutes, go and check, because Romeo's mum, Susie, has done all of the website and all of the Instagram. There's a bio, there's everything. It gives you all the information. And it's not just about one boy. It's not just about Romeo. It's about everybody else that's struggling and needs an organ donor and they're not becoming available. So it's just an awareness thing. And obviously on the back of that, just to raise awareness about things that can or cannot be happening. And when you've got a platform to do it, I think when it's free, you should have a platform to say and to let people know that that things like that happen.
We're all parents, aren't we?
Yeah.
I'm sure exactly.
We'll put all the links out there.
Nah, cheers, man. Cheers.
No, top man, mate.
We appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
Top man,
cheers, cheers, cheers.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards. Save